Jesus told us that this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. What if I told you today that one of the ways in which the Lord is going to reach the lost in this end time harvest is through dreams and visions? Let's talk about that today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. We want to get our material out there, get the message out. This helps us push this out on the algorithms on YouTube, on Rumble, on Facebook Live, and all these video platforms. We want to welcome our Apple and Spotify listeners as well. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast. Guys, listen, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. Again, visit your local Apple store or your Android store. Get the app today, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and this is how you're going to keep up with our ministry, with every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. So, guys, today I want to talk to you about, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He goes through an entire list of events that will transpire and take place leading up to the climax of the end of the age, or the church age, and then we will shift into the millennial reign of Christ, where he rules and reigns for 1,000 years, where he sets up his kingdom on the earth. This is what he means by the end of the age and the coming, your second coming, the return of the Lord, the second advent. So what are these signs that are leading up to us, leading up to this event? There will be wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be pestilences and famines. There will be deception and all these things. And then in Matthew 24, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. One of the things that has always fascinated me on a personal level was I've always struggled with how is the gospel, because we know according to the book of Romans, it says, how can they know how to respond or how to react to the gospel lest one be sent to them? How are they going to hear it lest one come and bring them the gospel? Thus, that's the reason the Lord raised up the ecclesia, the church, the hands and the feet, the voices, all of us today living and breathing at the time of this podcast. You're the hands and feet of the gospel. You're the mouthpiece of the kingdom of heaven. You're taking the gospel to all the corners of the earth and preaching the gospel. But guys, the reality is there is places in the world where a missionary cannot go. There is indigenous tribes and locations where a physical missionary, an evangelist, cannot set foot on that place. There is places in the Middle East which missionaries identify as a 1040 window. This is the most dangerous area or region right there in the Middle East where missionaries, for example, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, all these places, they cannot go in there and just freely preach the gospel because out of fear of persecution, or being arrested, death, and the list goes on. China is another location. North Korea is another location. So we know that the Bible tells us that God cannot lie. So we know that if he says, listen to me, that this gospel, the kingdom, is going to be preached unto the whole world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Okay, number one, that tells me you can mark it down, you can take it to the bank, that it's going to happen. Whether in our lifetime, the next lifetime, our children's lifetime, it's going to happen. This gospel of the kingdom is going to be reached all around the world. It's going to be preached all around the world because God cannot lie. Every prophecy has been valid. It's true. It has come to pass. It has been fulfilled. That has been. Now, there's prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, but God has a 110% track record. He has never failed, and I don't believe he's going to fail anytime soon. So that's number one. Number two is we have to ask ourselves, how is this gospel going to be preached around the world if there is limitations physically for us to reach? Well, we've covered this before. That's where satellites are going to come into play. Satellite television, satellite radio, shortwave radio, internet, television, social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. This is one way. This is one venue. But what are you going to do? Listen to me. I'm going to go somewhere today. We're building a foundation. They're going to get into some stories. We're going to get into some testimonies. We're going to watch a video, and we're going to bring this home today. And this is exciting, guys. This is exciting. This is good news today. I bring you good tidings and good news today. What are you going to do when you get into an area where there is no satellite television, there is no satellite radio, there is no shortwave radio, there is no internet, there is no television, there is no social media, it's forbidden for physical missionaries to enter into those proximities, those locations? What do you do then? Is God limited? Is God restrained? Has God lost his ability to be able to reach that group of people? The answer is no. And I'm going to show you. Let's go to the book of Job. We're going to go in Job chapter 33, I believe this is. Yes, chapter 33. We're going to start at verse 14. This is very important that you hear this, because this is going to answer some questions here. Job 33, 14. For God may speak in one way or in another. In other words, come on, don't put him in a box and think that he can only preach, reach, and speak in one way and not another. The writer says God will speak in one way or in another. Yet man does not perceive it. I like to say it like this. God is always speaking, but typically we're so busy and inundated with life and the cares of life that we're not hearing him speak. Fred Stone, who was the father of Perry Stone, once made a statement that always stuck with me, and it's been with me for years and years and years. He said, any man can speak to God, but few men in the earth can hear from God. Come on, guys, that's powerful right there. Let me say that again, in the case you want to take that note down. All men can speak to God, but few men can hear from God. Now, why is that? Because, again, we are so busy in life. We don't make time for God. We're the hustle and bustle, the cares of life, all these things, or we're bogged down with the cares of life. We're distracted, all these things. Okay. So again, God is always speaking in one way or another, one facet or another, but yet man does not perceive it. Now look what he says in verse 15. He specifies something here. He says, in a dream, in a vision of the night. Let me say that again. In a dream and in a vision of the night. So now we see where God is going to speak through a dream or a vision. And it says, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering upon their beds, then he opens the ears of men. He seals their instruction. So he gives us, why is God speaking through dreams? Why is God speaking through visions? Again, he's going to tell you this. Now, again, I know there are certain individuals that will be watching and listening today based upon your denominational upbringing, your traditions, what you've been taught maybe in your seminaries. Many of you, especially if you're a sensationist and you do not believe that God speaks today through dreams, through visions, or through the Holy Spirit, because you've been taught that God will only speak through the written word of God and no other way. So no dreams, no visions, no circumstances, no speaking of the inner man through the Holy Spirit, nothing through the prayer language. All this stuff has been eliminated. And if you believe that, you're going to have a real hard time struggling with this program today and what we're talking about today. So I'm hoping today, if you come from that particular background, that you'll be a little open-minded today, because I'm going to prove to you in the scriptures that God not only did God never stop speaking through dreams and visions, but he's still speaking through dreams and visions, because we're homing in on dreams and visions today, okay? In case you missed it, because I'm going to show you some reports today that are absolutely phenomenal. All right, so the writer says the purpose of speaking in dreams and visions is open the ears of the individual to seal their instructions, verse 17, and to turn them from their deed. Come on, there is times that you and I will be doing stupid things. We'll be heading in a direction that is destructive, that could lead to utter, complete chaos. And because we're so busy with life, inundated with the cares of life, and we're distracted, we're not in our word, we're not in prayer, we're not in the house of God, we're not connected with God, we don't see and perceive that God is giving us warnings, red flags. Come on, he's sounding the alarm, trying to separate us from a particular relationship. He's trying to get us away from a particular individual. He's trying to get us away from a bad business deal. He's trying to get us away from a church that's deceptive and that is cultish and that is leading us in destruction. He's trying to get our attention, and because he can't get our attention in our waking hours and through time in study and devotion to the word and in prayer, there is many times he'll wait till you're asleep on your bed and he'll show up in a dream or a vision. Now, I'm not saying that it's the Lord Jesus himself physically showing up. I'm going to show you in just a second. Many times God will send an angel to individuals to instruct them and warn them and guide them. God can just, listen, can I just say this? Because I'm trying to really give all the theological angles to this, but let me just give you a broad term here. God is God, and he can speak however and he can speak however and whenever he wants to, when he wants to, and how he wants to any individual on the planet. And if you've got a problem with that, my friend, you don't know the word and you don't know God. So again, the purpose of this: seal instructions, open their ears, turn them from their deed, conceal their pride from them, and to keep back their soul from the pit and their life from perishing by the sword. That now, can I home in on 17 and 18, especially number 18, verse 18? To speak in a dream or vision to keep an individual's soul from the pit. Now, that Hebrew word pit there is, in our understanding, it would be hell or Hades. To keep them from hell, God speaks through dreams and visions to keep individuals from hell. Now, again, over here in Joel 2, we know, according to the prophet Joel, and it was confirmed by Peter, that in the last days, God himself is pouring out his spirit and will continue to pour out his spirit. And he tells us here in verse, again, in Joel 2, 28 through 31, he says that he will speak to even our sons and daughters and old men and young men. And through, in one of those ways he will do this, verse 28, is through dreams and visions. Now, I want to share with you a profound, amazing report. This is from the Western Journal. Quote, Muslim men in Gaza seek Christ after over 200 dream of Jesus on the same night. Let me say that again. Over 200 Muslims in Gaza saw Jesus in a dream in the same night, and according to the report, are now seeking Christ not as a prophet, but as Lord and Savior and Messiah. According to a Christian professor, Michael Lacona, however you pronounce his name, He is a teacher at, he studies New Testament studies at, or he teaches, excuse me, New Testament studies at Houston Christian University, and has also written a number of books, including, quote, The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus and Paul Meets Muhammad. In a recent Facebook post, Lasona, brother, if you're listening, please forgive me if I slaughtered your last name here. We're just going to call him Michael. Michael said he received a report from Underground Christian Ministries, which is stationed in the Middle East, that detailed the miraculous conversions. Quote, God is working in the midst of war. Let me read this. Let me pull this up so you can read this right here on the screen. Here is this Facebook post. Quote, God is working in the midst of war. This news coming out of Palestine from Underground Christian Ministries. Quote, over the past 2 days, we have ministered to hundreds of fathers who have lost most, if not all, of their children in the war. This is horrible. As we moved these men to safety, we fed them, washed their clothes, and began to read the Bible to them, sharing the way of peace through Jesus. Then a big miracle happened. Last night, Jesus appeared to more than 200 of them in their dream. So guys, this is powerful. This is a powerful testimony. Now, this is not the first time that we've heard of this. In fact, here's another report. This one, let me show you we'll share this with you real quick. Jesus visited him every night. According to a Middle Eastern missionary, he shared an amazing story of God on the move. I want to read a little bit of this. This is from CBNnews.com. A Middle Eastern missionary shared a remarkable story of how Jesus visited a man in the region every night for a month, asking the man to write down what he said. It turns out the missionary said that Jesus shared the entire book of John with the man, who lived more than 30 miles outside a city in the Middle East known for its extreme use of opium. McLean Bible Church pastor David Platt interviewed the missionary during the Gospel Coalition Something Needs to Change simulcast a few years ago. To protect him, the church did not show an image of the missionary, and Platt gave him a different alias, which he called him Yazid, which means God will increase. The church also altered his voice so it cannot be recognized. This man and his wife live and work in a part of the Middle East where it's against the law to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and even life-threatening to talk about the advancement of the gospel. The couple spend their lives sharing the gospel among Muslims who have never heard it. Think about that. And they also plant churches. He went on in the interview. He said, quote, God is moving inside the Middle East. Listen to me. Ready? With dreams, visions, and personal visitations. Let me say that again for the back row. God is moving inside a place where lives are threatened, where they are persecuted, they're killed, they're incarcerated. God is moving through dreams, visions, and personal visitations. Come on, somebody say, God is not limited on how he can reach the people. He went on to say that a man shared his amazing supernatural encounter with God. A man wearing all white knocks on my door every night, and I couldn't look at him because his face was so shiny and bright. When he would come inside, he asked me to write down what he said, and as I wrote, I would fall asleep, and then the next night he would come again, and this went on for a month. When Yazid encountered the man and asked to see the notebook that he was writing in, he wanted to see what was being written in it. Yazid shared that in the man's notebook was written, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He had the whole book of John verbatim in his notebook. Guys, think about it. Here's a Muslim man who knew the Quran. He knew the Hadith. He did not know the 66 books. I'm sure he probably knew the Torah, but he didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He didn't know all these books, but yet he has this encounter with this individual whose face was so radiant that he couldn't look into his face. For a whole month, he writes down what the individual is speaking to him. He writes it down on a notebook. He shares what is written on the notebook to his friend, who is also a Muslim, who is a missionary. He reads it and recognizes immediately that it's the book of John. Guys, that is absolutely amazing.
Of course, when I went to Mecca, I was going there in order to pay homage to the Kaaba and to fulfill the requirements in Islam. But that night, I saw Jesus in a dream. First, Jesus touched my forehead with his finger. And after touching me, he said, "You belong to me." And then he touched me above my heart. "You have been saved. Follow me." "You belong to me," he said. So I decided, okay, I am not going to finish the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Whatever it takes, I am going to follow that voice.
In the church, if you ask how people came to Christ, 80% will say they saw him in a dream.
80% of Muslims that came to Christ, how did they come to Christ? Was it a missionary? No. Was it an evangelist? No. Was it a pastor there? No. 80%. 80% of them, according to, again, these testimonies, came to Christ through supernatural dreams and visitations of the Lord. Guys, I've got chills from that. God is moving in the earth. Again, denominations can deny it. They can try to stop it. They can try to shut it down. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they did this in the time of Christ. The governments could try to stop it. But if Christ has to, he will show up in supernatural dreams and visions. And this is what we're talking about today.
So I decided to ask him. And so I did. And then the next day, I guess, I saw a dream, and in my dream, I saw Jesus was a bridge. I decided to come to him.
Here's a report again from September of this year. Missionaries are reporting that Muslims meeting Jesus in dreams in levels that they have never seen in 1,400 years. Wow. The report details how two Assembly of God missionaries shared multiple firsthand testimonies of Muslims coming to the Christian faith after encountering Christ in dreams. James Bradford, who is the lead pastor at Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri, and missionary Dick Brogdon told Assemblies of God News that God is answering the prayers of Christians who are praying for Muslims. They admit any Islamic country is a dangerous place for a Christian, and there are few opportunities for open evangelism, but they report Muslims are meeting Jesus in their dreams and converting to Christianity at an alarming rate. Quote, I would even say it's the normal experience. It's amazing, guys. We can't even get Christians to believe that God still speaks in dreams and visions. But over in the Middle East, where we can't get missionaries, this is becoming normal. Quote, it would be accurate to say that Muslims are responding to Jesus in levels that we've not seen in 1,400 years. Dreams are contributing to revelation as an insurance, the process of evangelism and conversion. He went on to say that, quote, so many Muslims reject Islam, but know that to follow Jesus will cost them everything. Again, we don't understand that here in the West. Dreams of Jesus encourage them along the way and give them comfort that Christ will be with them, though it cost them everything to follow him.
I said, Dad, if I have to choose between you and Jesus, then I choose Jesus.
Former Muslims are sharing their stories of discovering Jesus and praying that others will have the same experience.
Once you have Jesus in your life, it just changes everything.
Nadine, Afshin, and Yasra talk directly to Muslims about growing up under the Islamic faith and the new life found in Christ.
He's not a mad, angry God who created me, but he's mad at me. He's not that. He created me with so much love.
A team effort between Uncharted Ministries and CBN will use social media and streaming platforms to take these stories around the world. Tom Doyle says these Muslim background believers will take questions, pray for Muslims, and also help Christians with sharing the gospel to this special group.
How did they find Christ in Iran, in Baghdad, Iraq, and sharing their stories? And then they're going to give a call to action to believers in the West on how to reach out to Muslims
Why is it important to do this during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan?
Yeah, you know, that last week is the most special week during Ramadan because there's what we call, what they Muslims call the night of destiny, the night of power, where they just cry out to God. Do you know, Wendy, that is the number one night of the year that Jesus appears to Muslims in dreams. So they're searching for God, and Jesus accommodates that request, but they're shocked and they're surprised when a man in a white robe comes and tells them that he loves them and he died for them on the cross.
According to international estimates, there are about 2 billion Muslims worldwide. And Doyle says a surprising number find Jesus in a truly divine way.
20 years ago, we just started to understand this phenomenon about Muslims having dreams about Jesus. They weren't even seeking Jesus. They were seeking their own God. And all of a sudden, Jesus is appearing, and they were searching and getting online and watching television, watching your programs, listening on radio, finding believers. And so this week is so important for them. And we just want to make sure that Muslims are saturated with prayers.
How can our viewers watch and take part in this event, Tom?
So it's going to be great. It'll be on CBN, your platforms, Uncharted platforms. If they want to go a little bit farther, they can go to our friends at ifoundthetruth.com and get to meet some of the guests that will be with us and hear their full story. They're exciting. They are like fast-paced novels, but they're God's stories about what he did to deliver them from Islam into the kingdom of God. So it's a great partnership. CBN, Uncharted, I Found the Truth, and people around the world praying for Muslims to find Christ.
Bradford shared that he was in a Muslim country meeting with church leaders from several Muslim nations. One of the leaders shared a testimony of a woman who had a dream where she saw Jesus. Listen to this, quote, "A woman had left the Muslim faith, but she was full of hatred and suspicion of Christians. She didn't know what to do. She asked God for help," he explained. "One night she had a dream where she saw a shepherd walking about an empty tomb. One night she had a dream where she saw a shepherd walking about an empty tomb with a staff. The shepherd walked around it a few times, around what? The empty tomb. And then he headed directly towards the woman. He had a loaf of bread in his hands, which he broke and offered to her. And as he did, he said, quote, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' He went on to share with the woman that, quote, who knew nothing about the Bible and woke up and contacted a person who she knew was a Christian. He showed her in the Bible where Jesus had said these very words. The woman accepted Christ as her Savior and to this day continues to serve him." Another story that was recounted illustrates the lengths into which God will show his love to his people. He shared that a Saudi Arabian woman had a dream about going to heaven, but feared it was the devil tricking her. Oh, come on. We see that all the time when people talk about encounters where they've had near-death experiences and people immediately attribute to the devil or it's a trick or it's a scam. So here's a woman from Saudi Arabia that had a dream about heaven, and she was doing the right thing and said, no, wait a minute, this is deception. And she feared it was a trick of the devil. So she prayed to Jesus and said, quote, "Jesus, if you are the real God, I want to see you." Later, tending her sheep in the desert, she came across a pool of water. Bending down to drink, she looked into the water and saw in the reflection a massive man standing behind her. He held a shepherd's staff and he was smiling. She whipped around, but there was no one there. She looked again in the water and there was this massive shepherd once again. According to one of these pastors, the woman was terrified and ran home to her sister, who was a believer, and told her that this was Christ, proving that he was God. The woman, still doubting, asked the Lord for one more proof. Her mother was a cripple, bound to her chair, unable to walk. And she prayed and said, "Jesus, if you are real and truly God, I want you to heal my mother and let her stand on her feet and walk." Immediately, her mother stood up and began to walk around. The sister threw up her hands in surrender and shouted, "Jesus, I believe. I believe. And this is, again, this is two accounts of so many accounts of these individuals hearing and seeing and having encounters with God in dreams and in visions in the Middle East. Now, good, as a friendly reminder to all of the skeptics and doubters that may be listening, I want to remind you that Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, had a dream in which he and his brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and his sheaf stood upright while his brothers bowed down to it. And in another dream, the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. And these dreams were all a foreshadow of the future position in which Joseph would rise to power and his brothers and family would eventually be dependent upon him. So again, don't miss my point. God spoke through Joseph in a dream. Pharaoh, who was a wicked man, didn't even know the Lord, was the ruler of Egypt, had two back-to-back troubling dreams, and both of these dreams was referencing a famine that would sweep across Egypt, in which, hello, Joseph would be instrumental in God using him, raising him up to be in a position of leadership over Egypt to save all of Egypt, including his brothers and his family, which again fulfills the dream that he gave Joseph. So the same God gave Joseph a dream, gave Pharaoh a dream. Did you know that God spoke through Solomon in a dream? Solomon, who again, who's known for all of his vast wisdom, had a dream in which God offered to give him anything he desired. And in the dream, Solomon asked for wisdom to govern the people of Israel. God granted him the wisdom in which he requested. Did you know that the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus, the wise men were warned in a dream by the Lord not to return to King Herod and disclose the location of the newborn king because they did this, they were able to preserve, come on somebody, the Messiah. They heeded the warning. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, was warned in a dream to get your family and flee from one location to go to another. Why? Because Herod was rising up to try to take out the Messiah before he would even fulfill his purpose. Daniel, under the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was given dreams. Even Nebuchadnezzar, who again didn't serve God, he had a dream that troubled him. He sought all the wise men and the interpreters to interpret it for him, but they could not. But Daniel the prophet was able to interpret the dream. And when he did it, everything that Daniel interpreted to him was fulfilled. Then you go to the New Testament. And I've already talked about Joseph. Let's talk about Pilate's wife in Matthew 27. You had the Pilate's wife who had multiple dreams in regards to the innocence of Yeshua or Jesus and urged Pilate to not have anything to do with him. And this is why Pilate took a basin of water before he heeded the demands of the Jewish people who demanded that he be crucified. When they let Barabbas go, let Jesus be crucified, he took out a basin of water and he washed his hands of the innocence of Christ's blood. Why? I believe one of the reasons was because his wife was given multiple dreams regarding Jesus. What am I talking about? I'm talking about in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall have dreams, and your young men shall have visions. Friends, that was the fulfillment of the initiation, I should say, of that. The former reign was in the upper room, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. Peter stands up, confirms that, and guys, God did not stop pouring out his spirit. He did not stop moving through dreams and visions. He's still doing it in the earth today. He says to us, the church, I give you the comforter, the paracletos, the one who will come alongside you and aid you. The Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. And when he comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own accord, but he will show you things to come. Future tense. Friends, listen to me clear. If the gospel of the kingdom has got to go into all the world and reach the lost before the end's going to come, we should not be surprised by these reports. Now, listen, when we shared this recent report about these 200 Muslims coming to seeking Christ because of these encounters through a dream, through dreams in one night, 200 men to Christ revealing himself in these dreams, we had a lot of kickback on that. We had a lot of people, especially of the Muslim faith, that all over our Facebook, this is fake. They called us vile names that I can't even repeat because they refused to believe. Number one, that Yeshua is more than a great prophet. He is, friends, listen, I don't know who's watching this today. Maybe you're watching this and you're of the Muslim faith. I plead with you today to be like these other brothers and sisters who, when they wanted answers and when they wanted the truth, they sought the truth and they cried out to him and said, Yeshua, if you truly are more than the prophet, more than a great prophet, if you're more than Yeshua, the son of Mariam, the son of Mary, if you're more than that, show me. Reveal it to me. Speak to me in a dream. Come to me in a vision. Let me have an encounter. Show yourself to me. Listen, don't shy away. God is bigger than you. God is not intimidated by what you're praying. These people became desperate and they really wanted to know the truth and God met them. Come on, I challenge you today. And maybe you're not Muslim and you're watching this and you're on the fence and you're listening to this and you say, well, I don't know about all this stuff and I don't know if God's real. I don't know if Jesus is real. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's real. I don't know if the Bible is real. I don't know. Come on, I challenge you. The book of Hebrews said that those who come to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I challenge you today. Friend, step out in faith. Step out and begin to, come on, put the challenge on God. God is not intimidated by your challenge. Ask the Lord, say, God, if you're real, Yeshua, if you're real, if you're really the Messiah, if you're really the Son of God, speak to me on a personal level that will get my attention. Listen, he got through Peter. He got Peter's attention through a crowing rooster. He got Balaam's attention through a speaking donkey. He got Jonah's attention through a ship and some sailors and a storm and a whale. He can get your attention through a floating axe head. He can get your attention through ravens bringing you food in the middle of a dried up brook. He can get your attention by a road to Damascus encounter, which will knock you off your feet. And you'll never be the same again. Listen, the point is, however God's got to get your attention, he can do it, friend. Don't put him in a box. After all, he is God. If he really is God, who are you and I to limit him and put limitations on him and thinking that we are so naive and arrogant to believe that God can only speak through this way or through that way, when the word of God says he speaks this way and he speaks that way. And one of the ways he speaks unto us is through dreams and through visions. And I want to tell you today, and I want to assure you today that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he has to, he's going to reach the people through supernatural dreams and visions. So guys, again, we should not be surprised by this. We should be excited about this. We should be praying about this. In fact, that's what I'm going to do today. So if you're listening, you're watching today, and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to agree with me today as we pray for more of our Muslim brothers and sisters. I'm calling those things that are not as though they were. I'm calling them into the faith, and I'm going to pray that Christ reveals himself through angels, through visitations, through supernatural means, however he's got to reach them. Because this, guys, if we want this thing to wrap up, this gospel of the kingdom's got to be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end's going to come. So if this is one of the ways in which God's going to do this in these last days, then guys, I don't want to fight against it. I want to be on the same team, and I want to pray for it. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Can I get some laborers today with me that will agree with me in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for this word of encouragement today. We pray for all of, we pray for every Muslim man, woman, and child that is out there in the Middle East, that is in Saudi Arabia, that is in Iraq, that is in Palestine, that is in Israel, that is in Libya and Lebanon and Iraq and Syria and Iran, and all these places. We pray that they would have a Holy Ghost encounter. Lord, we ask that you would move mightily in their lives. Lord, shake them in dreams and visions and visitations and encounters in Jesus' name. I pray that they would see supernatural healings, supernatural manifestations, supernatural encounters in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you in advance for the testimonies. We thank you in advance for the miracles. We thank you in advance for the salvations. You said, Father, that all of heaven rejoices in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we celebrate these. We agree with them today. Lord, we thank you that they're coming into the kingdom, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So Lord, we're doing our part, and we're interceding, and we're praying. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all these brothers and sisters that are new, that are coming into the kingdom. We pray that they be discipled, they be equipped, and they will go out in the underground churches in the Middle East, in North Korea, in China, and everywhere else, and that more and more souls would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you said this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So Father, we thank you for this. We praise you for this. We give you glory for this. And we say, let it be so in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, again, please hit the like button, hit that share button. Please share this with as many friends and family that you know, and tell them, say, look, God is moving in the midst of war. He's moving in the midst of chaos. He's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, just like he said he would in the last days. So again, get our free app, guys. This is where you're going to keep up with this. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. Download the free app. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If our ministry is a source of revelation, equipping, information, blessing, all of the above, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the main website, or you can give right there on your screen by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, we appreciate you guys so much for coming and being a part of this segment today on this broadcast. Again, we're going to sign off for tonight. We will be back here on Wednesday, November the 22nd. We'll be off Thursday for Thanksgiving. We'll be right back here in the studio on Friday. So again, typically we take off on Wednesdays, but this week, because of Thanksgiving, we're going to switch and swap those days. So we'll be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great segment. And then we'll be off Thursday to spend time, and you guys, everybody will be spending time with their families on Thanksgiving. And we'll be right back here in the studio on Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.